technology. You know, I mentioned that technology is having some problems here and this morning, and that's okay. But you know, this evening, I have the technology ready, but I also have the old way ready too, just in case. But that's okay. The Lord's good. You know, we seem to be live and die by the technology. I'm just thankful God's word stands true, regardless what's going on. So again, we're so grateful and thankful for God's mercies to us. We're going to continue our study on the ingredients of a healthy church this evening. And the last two Sunday evenings, we looked at two subjects. The first of those, I guess it was two Sundays ago, that a healthy church needs godly leadership. Indeed, that's an understatement at the least, to have a godly leadership in place. That God would place that leadership in the church. And then last Sunday night, we looked at how a healthy church needs to have goals and objectives in what they're trying to accomplish, their purposes are for Christ. This evening, we'll look at this matter that a healthy church will be a discipling church. And we'll get into that in a moment. Father, we bow before you once again this evening and are so thankful, so grateful for your mercy towards us. Thank you for your great grace. And even as we sought to look at this morning, we're so thankful for your Lamb. That Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That Lamb that takes away our sin. We rejoice in Him this evening, looking forward to what you're going to do in our midst tonight. Please, Lord, do for each one present, each one that is not able to be here, may well be watching the stream or maybe too ill, too sick, other things going on. Please, please deal and work in every heart of every member of Metropolitan Baptist Church. And we will give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I said a moment ago, this third point in our series on the ingredients of a healthy church, declare that a healthy church will be a discipling church. Now, as Christians, as individuals, but also as a church, we must never forget, and I try to remind us of this along the way, that commission that we received from the Lord Jesus Christ had two aspects to it. Quite often, we emphasize the first over the second. Part one, first part of that commission was to do what? Evangelize. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, we're instructed there to go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But the second part of that commission follows in verse 20, where we read, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And Jesus goes on to say, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And I like it. Amen. And we realize that word amen means make it so. So be it. We're adding our agreement to what is said there. And indeed, would we say our amen? Well, I'm going to look at this responsibility then. This responsibility. We need to be continually involved in the task of discipling. And again, we're going to try to explore that, the scope of that this evening. Of course, we make disciples or we teach all nations. And we'll look at that as we go along this evening. But then there's that going on to disciple those that do come to Christ, discipling believers, seeing believers grow, bringing them to maturity in Christ. Brother Jeffrey Evans brought an excellent message Wednesday night on that very subject. And especially over the last, I'd say, 10 to 15 years, the Lord has just impressed me more and more how important this second half of the commission that God's given us is. You know, preachers, preachers like to debate. They like to chew on the theological rag till there's no lint left in it. But they often split hairs about the differences between preaching and teaching. They want to distinguish that. And all teaching, I'll say it this way, the preachers can agree or disagree, that's okay. When we get to glory, the Lord will straighten us all out. But all teaching's not necessarily preaching. But all preaching should also teach. Should also teach. Preaching should also impart the truth of the Word of God. It's through the teaching of the Word of God that believers then are equipped and edified for our service for Christ. Brother Jeffrey took us to Ephesians chapter 4. We can go there again. Ephesians chapter 4, where this is laid out for us so clearly. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11, the Apostle Paul, of course, as we always want to remember, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says this, says, He, God, gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. But we continue with the passage. It says, for the perfecting, and as Brother Jeffrey brought out, that was for the completing, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come, not just the preachers, but till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, that complete, that mature man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Tremendous. And then verse 14 says, again, all of this with purpose, that we henceforth be no more children. Sad when believers, some that have been saved for many years, are still children in the faith. In that sense, that they're still in a state of immaturity, of incompleteness in the truth of the Word of God. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight, or the idea is the scheme of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But the other side of that, the side we want to be on, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him, unto Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Be careful, beloved. Just a little side note. Be careful of those. I'm a country boy. I used to hear things like Johnny come latelys and things like that, sayings. You know what that means? Daniel sometimes will look at me. He'll say, what does that mean, preacher? And I have to explain a little bit. Someone that comes along late in the story or late in the game, and they want to tell you, hey, I've got something new. Some preacher, I'm always very nervous if some preacher says, the Lord gave me something new. Well, what do you mean by that? When I'm studying to prepare and teach for you all, and I think I've seen something new, I do a spiritual step back, and I start examining myself and trying to make sure through others that have been around a lot long, not a Johnny come lately, because hey, the scripture's very clear. And another saying, there's nothing new under the sun. So you look to those that have been around and wiser and have that teaching, that solid teaching of the Word of God. Be careful of those that want to take you away from those foundational truths of the Word of God. Well, again, I think I killed a couple of rabbits on that hunting trip, so we'll go on. We want to see here the pastor's responsibility, that pastor-teacher's responsibility, as the Apostle Paul laid it out. And in this passage, as we saw in the Great Commission, the Apostle Paul also lays out this twofold commission in his teachings. Even as he wrote to Timothy, his protege, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Notice as you hear this, if you don't see the first part of that commission, he says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist." Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Is not Paul here reaffirming the Lord's words in the Great Commission? To make disciples, teach all nations, by challenging Timothy in this area of what? Evangelism. And what is an evangelist? He is a proclaimer of the evangel. That word evangel is another word for the good news, those good tidings. An evangelist is a proclaimer of the gospel. And Paul's challenging Timothy to ensure that he was doing that work of proclaiming the gospel. The second part of the pastor's ministry is to equip. And by the way, as Paul wrote these words to Timothy, Timothy was at least at that time standing in as one of the pastors there in the church of Ephesus. And so Paul challenges him to maintain that work of evangelism, seeing to the reaching out into the city. But then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, we find here the theme even of our college, of TTUS. The theme of our college comes from this very verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, where Paul writes to Timothy here, and he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me, Timothy, the things that I have taught you among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." You, Timothy, need to teach others. And what is to happen? Those faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so we see the very epitome of this idea of the discipling process. The discipling process. Well, that passage lays out then the teaching component of our commission, both to evangelize, but also, as we would use that word, disciple, of discipleship. Well, that's the pastor's responsibility, but what about the rest of the folks, the people's responsibility? Please remember, I think you understand this certainly, that the Great Commission wasn't just given to preachers and missionaries. We'll say pastors and missionaries. It's not just for preachers. The Great Commission is given to us all, to all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are folks, beloved, there are people that each and every one of us can have impact in their lives. Whether it be at Mama Rose's or whatever, is that what it's called down there? What is it? Rose's Cafe. I like Mama Rose's better. I didn't even fix the sign. I guess Mama Rose's sounds more like an Italian restaurant. But whether it's at the Rose's Cafe or at the schoolhouse, on the job, the office, wherever it might be, over the back fence, we have opportunity, all of us, to have impact in people's lives. Consider that lost friend, lost family member, a work companion, Again, as we mentioned, even our neighbors. It's amazing how we can, even in normal conversation. I don't think he watches the stream. I think I'm safe here. But I've got a neighbor across the street. He's a young fella. And he has a pickup truck. He has a loud pickup truck. And it's often about the time Marcia and I are laying down at night that he's decided that he needs to start up that pickup truck and hear it. I mean, hear it. And I'm mumbling and grumbling. And then I remind myself, because he's a young guy and it's an old pickup truck, guess what he's often doing? He's often working on it. And I've tried to forget those late night revvings of that old motor and make him a project. And so I walked across the street a couple of times to talk to him about his pickup truck. I mean, he's always looking at my pickup truck. And I'm thinking, well, at least we got blue pickup trucks. What's my goal? I want to talk to him about Jesus. Hey, if he gets saved, he might even put a muffler on that thing. Huh? We've all got folks around us, wherever it might be, that we could have impact with and seek to see them won to Christ. And then, hey, when they're won to Christ, then we have the opportunity to disciple them as well. You know, that one, if you're the one that leads that person to Christ, they are going to have a special affinity with you. Huh? They're going to be very appreciative of you and the part that you played in seeing their life changed. And you'll have that opportunity to disciple them after they've been saved. But not only does the pastor have that responsibility from the Great Commission, we can also see in Paul's writings that we all, we'll just say all believers, have that same responsibility. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we read this. Now, the Apostle Paul, notice how he words this. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Who's he writing to? He's writing to the members, the believers in the church of Corinth. And he says to them, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, as we challenged you when we were there with you. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We're ambassadors, all of us, representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also see, Paul made that second component of the Great Commission relevant to every believer. He says in Romans, as he wrote to that local church, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 14, he writes this to them. He says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, you that are saved. And listen, and edify one another, even as also you do. What were the folks there in Rome doing in that church? And as Paul encourages them, they were edifying, they were building up each other. It's a wonderful study, the one another's of Paul's letters. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, Paul writes this to that local church. He says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Build each other up, even as also ye do. So we see that challenge to us. Even as Paul wrote to the Colossians, you know, where the song leaders, they have a tough job. John's saying, yes, I sure do. And it is a tough job trying to get y'all to sing out, to lift your voices. But understand this. As you lift your voices in song, guess what you're doing? You're discipling each other. Listen to this from Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. You'll understand. You know this verse once we read it. Paul says to that local church, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now listen, teaching and admonishing one another. How? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What's he saying? We're discipling, we're encouraging, we're admonishing, we are teaching one another even as we sing together. Even as we sing together. Wow. Now this impacts so many areas, this responsibility of us as a church. As a church. I mean, whether it be just checking on each other. I mean, during the blizzard of 2021. Is that a fair? I mean, I don't know what we're calling it. Maybe the power outage of 2021, whatever we want to call it. Folks were checking on each other. I was so proud of y'all and trying to check, make sure everybody was doing okay. But that ministry to each other is important. Amen. Expressing that concern, that desire to meet each other's needs. And that ministry is not just the pastor's job, as we've read. It's not just the pastor's job. It's all of our job. Certainly, obviously, he's involved. He should be involved. And even an example of those things in it. But, beloved, if God's laid someone on your heart, follow up on it. I'm sure. I think it's just how God works. That you've woke up in the middle of the night and someone, some believer's on your heart. That happened to you? I mean, you don't have to, but you just wake up and brother or sister, so-and-so, whatever, is just brought to your heart. I try to be obedient in that because if God has laid that person on my heart, there must be something going on, must be a need there. So I try to be obedient in that thing and pray for them. God knows what's going on, but if we hold them up to the Lord, hey, that ministry of prayer, I don't know. I don't know if there's a more important ministry than prayer. Than prayer. Oh, my. Seek those out that you might be able to have an impact on in their lives. In their lives. I always hear the protest throughout my ministry, going all the way back over the last 30 years. I've heard the protest, preacher, I just can't do that. I just couldn't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. We all can. And we all should. We all should. And notice when Paul was writing, whether it was to the Ephesian church, the Thessalonian church, the Roman church, or the Colossian church, it was admonishing one another, teaching one and edifying one another. It's a mutual ministry, a mutual ministry. Well, all of us should have, I think we should all have folks in different stages, different stages of our relationship with them. Those that we're seeking to evangelize, like Mr. Loud Truck across the street. It's early stages there, but that's okay. And those that we have seen come to Christ and then stepping in and alongside them and helping them to see them grow. I've been saved now for 46 years, something like that. John always keeps track of it for me. I don't know how that is, but 40 some years. But I remember that those early days after I got saved, and we became, I mentioned First Baptist Church of Howland this morning, I think in Sunday school, but First Baptist Church of Howland, we became part of that church. That's where I was baptized. Marcia was saved and baptized. And the very first Sunday school teacher we had, I still remember his name to this day. I know he's been with the Lord for years, but his name was Wes Cipolla. and his dear wife. I mean, they stepped in along with in Marcia and my life, and along with some others. It was a large church, a huge church, you know, and a huge church for an independent Baptist church. In those days, it was run about 500 or so, and then in a few years, it was running over 1,000. I mean, that was a pretty big church in those days. And Wes Cipolla and his dear wife taught the new believers class, critical class, as they discipled us in those basics. I mean, it wasn't nothing complicated. I couldn't have handled it if it was complicated. But they got us where we were established in the things of the Lord and in those foundational truths. Well, also, as we think of that, be mindful, seek out, I don't know, be prepared, I guess, the old Boy Scout motto. Be prepared in whatever situation may come. Doing an actual Bible study, formal Bible study is great. That's fine. That's wonderful. But discipleship does not have to be carried out in a formal way. I wonder how much discipleship was carried on as Jesus and the disciples, those that were with him, was done as they traveled. Can you imagine? Just walking along from town to town, city to city, with the Lord Jesus. You think the Lord Jesus Christ let those times just go? I am confident he bought up every moment. He was investing in those men that he was going to leave everything to, the work to. So be mindful of that, and that informal discipleship can be just as important. I've probably mentioned this before. I remember when I was pastoring in Bowie, Texas, Central Baptist Church. There was a fellow came along. He joined the church. His name coincidentally was Ron Turner, Ron, and he was disabled. He'd been in a terrible truck accident on the job years before, but he came and joined our church. And in those days, I used to prepare. Can you imagine? The kids probably don't know what these are. Cassette tapes. And CDs. And we took them out to the truck stops. And I had these little display things set up. And it just had a sign on it. Said, free, take one. And there was literally a fishbowl filled with cassette tapes and a rack there with CDs in it with the previous Sunday's message on it. And there's times during the tour travel season in the middle of summer, we would give out like 200 a week, 200, 250 of those messages, those CDs and tapes would go. And tucked inside every one of them was a request form for a discipleship course. We made use of that. Well, along the way, Ron Turner volunteered. He says, preacher, I want to do something. What can I do? And I said, well, would you like to come by on Mondays and help me prepare the tapes and CDs? Well, he was all excited about that. Well, at the same time, I'm thinking, I really need to try to work with Ron and get him and do some discipleship with him and some Bible studies. But it was like, any of you kids ever try to push a rope? You just can't push a rope. It was like trying to push a rope, and Brother Ron just wasn't getting it, and he was having trouble with those Bible studies. And so I thought, plan B, is he'd get to the church there on Monday morning, and we would get to going, and he was duplicating cassette tapes, and I was duplicating CDs, and we were doing labels, and we were sitting about 5 feet from each other. And I knew I'd pray on the way to the church and before he got there, Lord, what do you want me to talk to Ron about today? And I never had to bring up a subject. Ron would bring it up. He'd ask me about this or that. We had an opportunity for the next hour and a half to talk about that subject. And I just bought up that opportunity. I prayed God would allow me then to just step into the situation. And I had about over a year or so that we worked on those tapes together. And I just saw that as my opportunity to disciple Brother Ron. Indeed, we became very, very close friends during that time. Well, isn't that what Christianity is all about? Isn't that what being a Christian is? It's not about us. It's not about me and this Bible study or that what's going on. No. It's about Jesus Christ and impacting people's lives for Him. Yes. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll go back. I also want us to look at this matter of discipling spiritually. Discipling spiritually. What's it about? We've been using this word to impart or having an impact in people's lives. Discipleship is simply imparting biblical truth, biblical principle, sowing biblical principles into people's lives. Wow. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. The disciples of Christ were those who what? Followed Him. Followers. And as they followed Him, they were learners. They were learners. The word disciple, it's interesting. It's used 27 times in the New Testament. All 27 times it's in the four Gospels or the book of Acts. Four Gospels and the book of Acts. And the Lord Jesus tells us, as we saw in Matthew 28, verse 19, to make disciples. The word teach, where it says to teach all nations, means just that, to teach with the intention or the goal of evangelizing, of making a follower, making a seed. Again, do we make the disciple? No, we proclaim the gospel. The Lord creates. He makes the disciples. And that miracle of how the gospel works in people's lives. Imparting biblical truth. And then, as we've been trying to make this point, making truth apply to life. Making truth apply to life. You know, the questions, and I don't remember what they were now, that's been almost 15 years ago when I and Ron were making those cassettes and CDs. But you know, the questions he was asking me were questions that came up in his life during the week. Things that he confronted, things that he dealt with. And so when we got together, those were the things he was asking me about. And oh my, that I would have something to give him. You know, I'll use this expression. It's not brain surgery. It's not brain surgery. Oftentimes we make it so much harder than it needs to be. Again, what is discipling? Just giving of ourselves to others. Imparting to others. Investing to others what someone else has invested in us. Isn't that what Paul was saying to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2? Why is it that the average believer doesn't disciple, doesn't seek to have an impact in other people's lives? I think there's a few reasons. I'm sure many that I'm not going to mention, but maybe because they've just never been challenged to do it. We think, well, if I'm in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that's my responsibility. But Christianity isn't a three-hour-a-week thing, is it? We don't have a time clock out here where we punch in and punch out. No, being a Christian is my life, isn't it? What did Paul say? For me to live is Christ. Well, might we be challenged in our heart of hearts in this matter? And then again, maybe they would feel that, well, I've not been trained to do that. I've not been trained to do that. And all the time I've been teaching this evening, and in the back of my mind, I keep thinking about Brother Bruce and I was having a conversation earlier in the week. We was talking about the college and the men that he's teaching now in Mexico and Chile, Peru, different parts of the Spanish speaking world, and it's different now than it was 50 years ago when his father went to southern Mexico. Bruce, and as I were talking, you know, I knew the theme of Brother Milton's ministry was discipleship, investing in men's lives that could become leaders and pastors and teachers for their people. And Bruce was sharing that, you know, we were talking about now we've got the college and we, you know, he's trying to bring those fellows along. And it's a different world even there in Mexico. The education's different. But when Brother Milton was working with those early guys, they were, many of them, village men and little education. And so he was simply investing in them Bible truth. There wasn't no tests or any of those kind of things. They weren't doing research papers. But you know what they were doing? Is Brother Milton would invest Bible truth into their hearts. You know what they did? They went home and shared it with their family and their neighbors and their friends. Huh? That's why there's over 200 and some churches there in southern Mexico today. When you do things the Bible way, it works. You don't. We don't have to be. We don't have to make it hard. Just give truth to others. Share what we've learned. Oh my! It's not a matter of being trained. It's a matter of being willing. Because some, indeed, though they've not been challenged or maybe not trained, they've just not given themselves to try. To try. No. I guess with that, though, there's a fourth problem. A lot of believers, a lot of Christians, haven't given themselves to the Word of God, to the Bible. What they get in Sunday school and church and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that's great. I feel the responsibility. I don't want to use the word burden because that's not a burden to try to share the truth and the principles of the Word of God. That's the fun part of the ministry. But we need to do that for ourselves. And again, don't make it hard. Just read the Bible. You know, one of my favorite things to do is, you know, Marcia and I, we spend that time in the mornings reading this, praying together and reading the scriptures together every year, getting through the scriptures. But one of my favorite things to do is just to settle into a passage. Maybe here in these letters from the Apostle Paul, maybe one of the Lord Jesus Christ's sermons, his messages, but just settle into it. Just read it. just read it. Chew on it. Just chew on it and chew on it. Think about it. Let it settle in. What do we call that? Just meditate on it. It's beautiful. When that just comes alive to your heart, then, beloved, you got something to share because God's given you something. It wasn't something that has been pre-digested by the Sunday school teacher or the pastor. Something God's given you. And oh, precious, how precious, precious indeed it is. Well, I'm going to say this. When you're doing that, sow those things away. Sow those truths away to your heart. Obviously, you can't help. If God shows you something like that, you don't forget it. But you read and you study the Bible and you examine the Bible for its application in your life. You're going to have to make some decisions this week. Well, I'm sure you are. We all are. I need biblical truth sown to my heart to be able to make those decisions wisely and with the Lord's discernment. And He uses that which we glean to our hearts, our minds, to do that, to make that, so that we're enabled to make those applications. But beloved, on the other side of that, you'll be able then to pass on those very things to others. Now, what's the ultimate goal that we mentioned last, as we was talking about last Sunday night about goals and objectives? What's our ultimate goal? To bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring glory to our God. And we do that as we obey Him in His commission and His word, His commands to us. But with that then, as we would finish up here tonight, as we're dealing with issues in life, seek to solve situations, solve circumstances of life biblically, from the Bible. From the Bible. Let me explain what I mean. We've got to guard against studying the Bible just to have knowledge. Just to have knowledge. Yeah. It's not the prideful. Look at what I know. Look what I know. No. It's about having God's truth to have something for others. Amen. Right? It's not about me having this wealth of knowledge. It's about me having some bread. Hopefully some fresh bread for my brothers along the way. Now, with that then, when we have those resources for our own lives, then we also have a resource to disciple others, to help them in their lives. Think about this. The time when someone has a need is the time when they're most likely to listen. Did I say that right? At that time, when there's a need in someone's life, is also the time when they're most likely to listen to you. Now, as an illustration, if I had a life server, a life preserver up here, and I just threw it over there at Daniel, he might get a little upset with me, sitting here in the auditorium, why are you throwing that thing at me? But if he was flounder, do you know how to swim? You know how to swim. Maybe I can. Who doesn't know how to swim? No. But if he was floundering out in a river and the water was pushing him downstream and he wasn't able to get his footing or get, and I threw that life preserver, that lifesaver to him, he's going to be grabbing that thing for everything he's worth. What's the difference? The need made the difference, didn't it? The need makes the difference. So what's it tell us? We need to be careful. We need to be vigilant in being aware of people's needs. I'm not saying being nosy or busybodies. That's not where, but being aware of needs in people's lives, especially those folks out there on the job and in their lives and the things, the battles, the struggles they're having. That you might be that person along the way that can step in with a word from the Lord for them. The word from God for them. Being able, being prepared to throw people that life preserver of, the lifeline of God's life preserver is what I'm trying to say, at that particular time of need in their life. Make yourself open. I think we preached some weeks ago about the risk of faith. There's risk when we open ourselves up to people. But isn't that risk worth it? If we can make an impact, an eternal impact in their lives? Yes. Wow. Over the last couple Sunday nights, we've sought again last Sunday night to stress that importance of having goals and objectives. I think these two messages go together, and we certainly need to pray for our church, pray for our leadership, that the Lord would make clear, help us make clear these things. I mean, I'm so thankful that for our Sunday school teachers, so thankful that we have the college ministry. Brother Hudson teaching this week on expository preaching, part two. What a tremendous opportunity in that to better equip your skills for what? Teaching the Word of God. Whether you're a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, or just want to be able to help your friend. Doesn't mean you have to have a three-point outline and with an opening story and a, you know, all that. No. But just being able to communicate the Lord's truth, the truth of the Scriptures. We need to pray. And always, of course, our eyes need to be where? On Christ. Amen. On Christ. Don't get diverted. But keep our eyes on Christ and what we need to be doing for Him. Our goals and purposes in Him. And then this evening, we've tried to focus on the importance of both that twofold commission. Command. It's a command. The command, the commission to evangelize, and then to teach, to disciple. To see folks become complete, perfect. And again, we're using that word perfect in the biblical sense. Mature, grown up, edified in Christ. Those two things should be, oh my, should consume us. Consume our life for Christ. Where's the precedence in your life? What's the priority in your life? What are you majoring on in your life? Is it the same thing that Jesus majored on? I think that's where I want to be. I want to focus my life, my ministry, on the things that were important to Jesus. What He focused on. Can I go wrong there? I don't believe. Well, let's stand together tonight. Thank you so much. Father, as we pause now to pray, we've heard from You. We've heard from Your Word. We've tried to stay right in line with what Your Scriptures say concerning this matter of both evangelism and discipleship. So, Father, please, I pray that we would receive that. Receive the challenge, receive the encouragement, receive the instruction that You would give us. And, Father, I pray that we would also, oh, Father, receive from You the enablement to follow through, to go for the Lord Jesus Christ and see disciples made. Lord, wherever it might be, when in our own homes and our own families, our friends, our neighbors, our work companions, wherever it might be. Oh God, please use me. Use all of us. And Lord, to see believers, to see new Christians, but also all of us, that we would grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name and, of course, for His glory that we pray. Amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 153.
We sing tonight. Of course, the altars are open. Make use of them as the Lord would direct. My main concern is that we would respond to the Lord's invitation to receive what He would give us this evening. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give.
appreciate you all. Lord bless you. Have a great week. Wednesday night, we'll be meeting in the chapel. Back to the chapel. Amen. Amen. Thank you, John.
The Lord is good. The Lord.